Yeah, this morning I was standing there in the back talking. I can't remember who I was talking to, and I just felt this this constriction around my neck. I couldn't breathe, and I didn't know why. And I looked down, and Spencer's hanging from my tie, and so he said, "I want to tell you something." And I bent down there and listened, and he quoted that scripture just perfectly. And at that moment, I realized, you know, it shouldn't surprise me anymore when I, you know, have example after example of the Holy Spirit moving through our worship service, because that was the passage that I had picked out for our scripture reading. And here is this precious child that comes and just happens to quote it this morning. And so I quickly went over to Fred and just asked him if there's any way that he could let Spencer quote that. And he graciously allowed Spencer to do that. But what a blessing this morning. What a display of the Holy Spirit living and breathing and just moving throughout generations to come. What a blessing. This morning, as we talk about blessings, as we talk about being thankful, there's a few images that come to mind. There's some imagery that creeps up when we think about Thanksgiving, when we think about being grateful, when we think about the all of the things that we have. And this is, you know, whenever I think about Thanksgiving, I've never quite had a Thanksgiving happen quite like this, but you know, this is kind of, I guess, the quintessential, you know, what it's supposed to look like. The Norman Rockwell, you know, everything's perfect coming together, the beautiful bird and every, you know, and that. And this is the image that you think of when you think of Thanksgiving. Or at least I do. And, you know, you can go all throughout Scripture and you can get example after example of the Bible telling us that Thanksgiving is something that we need to be a part of, that it's something that our lives need to, that needs to come from us. We need to be thankful in all situations, Paul would tell us, that we need to do everything with joy and thanksgiving, that we need to just be thankful. And our songs echo that, and our, and the things that we say, and especially this time of year, we talk about, well, we are so thankful for all that we have. And I wonder if it's imagery like this that doesn't skew our understanding or our practice of what Thanksgiving really is. What Thanksgiving really looks like. This morning we're going to look at a passage that I believe is probably one of the greatest examples of Thanksgiving. One of the greatest examples of what it looks like to abide by Scripture and to be thankful in all circumstances and all of the things that lead to Thanksgiving. So this morning, as we have the imagery of Thanksgiving, I want to think about what a faithful Thanksgiving looks like. How do we live lives faithfully so that Thanksgiving, which is a command, which is talked about, and I'm not going to spend any time going through the scripture upon scripture upon scripture. Just go to your concordance and look up thanks or thanksgiving or thankful, and you can have a list of scriptures that talk about the need for or the command of or just the aspect of being thankful. And we know that. The Psalms are replete with examples of David saying, I will do this thankfully. I will, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving and with joy. What does it look like? And do we set ourselves up to live a faithfully thankful life? If you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn over to Luke 17. 11 through 19 is going to be our text this morning. And we're going to talk about a couple of different things. But first, before we get into the scriptures, I want to ask you a couple of questions. This time of year, when we say that we are thankful, when we gather around a table and we just pile food upon food on that table, and we get all of our dear friends and loved ones and relatives around, people we like, people we don't like, whatever it is, you know, and we have this big meal and we go around and we talk about, what is it that we're thankful for? Have you ever thought about, what am I thankful for? When we say that we're, you know, I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed, what is it overflow? What's our cup overflowed with? What are we thankful for? What does it mean to be thankful. These are things that, is it just something that we say? Is it, does it mean just saying thank you? Is it that, that we recognize that, that we are blessed? Is it, you know, stockpiling things and just saying thank you? What does that mean to be thankful? I would say that one of the at its core, thanksgiving, being thankful is all about preserving or promoting or protecting what we're thankful for. How do we treat what we are quote unquote thankful for? Well, we protect it. We're thankful for our family, and so we preserve that. We promote family, and we protect our family. We're thankful for our stuff. So we preserve that, and to live thankfully and to be gracious is to take care of this stuff and to promote the procuring of more of that stuff. Or if we're thankful for our health, and so we want to preserve that and protect our health and promote the well-being of our health. I mean, typically what we quote unquote are thankful for is what we try to preserve. So when we think about our lives, what do I promote or protect or preserve in my life? Because that's kind of what I'm thankful for. So thanksgiving is about preserving. We have to ask ourselves, are we thankful for what God wants us to be thankful for? Do we promote, do we preserve, do we protect what God wants us to be thankful for? You see, because what we are thankful for will determine how we act. And what we do and the places we go and the people that we see and the things that are important to us. You see, thanksgiving is not something that can be commanded. Thanksgiving is not something that can be prompted. Thanksgiving is not something that can be just on occasion produced. Thanksgiving has to be provoked from within us. You see, thanksgiving takes place when it's, you know, what God wants us to be thankful for. It's when He defines our values, when He defines our lives, and then what we're thankful for determines how we act. And we act in a way towards God because of what we are, in fact, thankful for. Another question, not only what are we thankful for, but what's our potential for thanksgiving? You know, have you ever thought about that? This, these past few weeks as I've been preparing this sermon and kind of considering what it is that I wanted to preach about, what I felt like God was laying upon my heart to talk about, this idea over and over and over again came up, is that do we even have the potential to be thankful for what God wants us to be thankful for? And this is going to bear out in the story that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But you see, without proper motives, without God doing the motivating for us, thanksgiving is not even an option for us. So we have to consider, do I even have, you know, I know that it's commanded. I know that it's talked about. I know that, but I also know that it can't be produced. It can't be manufactured, that thanksgiving has to be provoked from within me. So, you know, if I'm going to be thankful in all things, if I'm going to listen to Scripture and I want to live a life connected to God like David's life was, a man after God's own heart, and I want to be thankful, do I even have that possibility? Do I even have the potential within me to act and to live and to conduct myself thankfully according to God's plan, according to His will? We're going to look at what that looks like. If you've, again, turn over to Luke 17, 11 through 19 and follow with me as we read. On His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and they called out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God again in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And by the way, he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other men, the other nine? Was no one found to return? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So here's a story about 10 men that lives were, were basically in a shambles. They had leprosy. But you see, what this story taught is not about the power of God to heal the sick. This story isn't so much about the just the overwhelming feeling of gratitude that only one person had. This story is about a road to Thanksgiving. It's about a person's life that brings them to this episode of Thanksgiving. On this road to Thanksgiving, if we want to be thankful, if we want to have a heart of thanksgiving and truly allow that to determine what it is that we do and how it is that we act, and if we want what is important to God to be important to us and be thankful for what God wants us to be thankful for, we have to look at this story and ask ourselves a couple of questions. The first question that we have to ask ourselves is, are you pitiful? I mean, do we see ourselves as being pitiful? Because you see, it's only there that we can start and even develop even the potential for thanksgiving. Now, bear with me as we see this play out. These men, on his way to Jerusalem, he was traveling between Samaria and Galilee. There's 10 men with leprosy, and from a distance they called out, Jesus, have pity on us. Now, why were they standing at a distance? Why were these men? Why wouldn't they come up to Jesus and just talk to him face to face? Because they're pitiful? Because they've got leprosy. They're pitiful. Now, there's two reasons that they were pitiful. There's two reasons that they were at a distance. And this is where it begins. Do we have the potential to be thankful? You see, there's only two reasons why these guys were standing at a distance. And there's only two reasons why we would ever stand at a distance and call out to Jesus. The first is because it was against the law for them to get close to people. It was just absolutely against the law. They could not, by the law of the land, they could not approach people. When someone that was not leprous was coming down the road, they had to, by law, get as far as they could, shouting distance and make gestures to let them know that I'm leprous, don't come any closer. That was the law. But you see, one guy was at a distance for a whole nother reason. One guy was at a distance for not only because it was the law, but he was at a distance because he doesn't want anyone to get what he has. You see, he has genuine concern for other people. So instead of it being the law and I am going to reluctantly, angrily, bitterly be at a distance and despise the fact that these people think this, or they think they're better than me, or I'm unclean and life is unfair. And this one person had the potential for thanksgiving because he was concerned with someone else. And it bears out in how he acts later on. See, we can either see our pitiful state. We can either see our need for God, our need for Jesus, as an opportunity to see His glory. We can either see it as an opportunity, or we can see it as something to make us bitter because of the lot in life that we have. Why were you standing at a distance? Do we see ourselves as inherently approachable by God and by others? Are we standing at a distance because it's against the law to approach holiness? Or do we stand at a distance because we see that there's something inherently wrong, and we don't want that to affect our God or to affect other people? It's coming to grips with, have pity on us. You see, they didn't ask to be healed. They didn't ask for anything to be changed. They just asked for pity. They understood their plight. One guy for the right reasons. Moving on, why are we going to take this road to Thanksgiving? Not only are we pitiful, but are we obedient? You see, because the potential for Thanksgiving begins with obedience. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. You ever think about what kind of obstacle these guys are about to face? When he says, go show yourselves to the priest, it was, again, unlawful for them to do this. You see, the priest had to maintain a status of being clean. And if he's in the presence of someone who's leprous, let alone 10 leprous men, he's unclean. So when he sees them coming, there's going to be a large obstacle for them to overcome. But instead, they just obey. They obey. You see, having the potential for Thanksgiving is all about being obedient to God. And what we're encountering on the way is of little consequence. But you see, obedience is more than just doing what God wants us to do. You see, obedience is not about discovering what God wants us to do. In this story here, there's nine people that are all about, okay, that's what, you know, we've heard about this guy and his healing. We've heard about this guy taking care of and changing the plight of pitiful people. And so whatever he tells us to do, that's what I'm going to do. And so for nine people, obedience was about discovering what they were supposed to do. But for one, obedience was about discovering God. Obedience was about discovering not necessarily what I'm supposed to do, but discovering who it is that is commanding me to do it. The very same reason Peter, when he sees Jesus walking on the water, he says, command me to come unto you. Obedience wasn't about giving me something to do. It was about figuring out that this is God. See, that's the potential for Thanksgiving, discovering God. And the last thing, and Jesus brings this out, is that not only understanding pitiful and needing for the right reasons to be accepted, but and not only being obedient, but are we faithful? See, one of them, verse 15, when he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? There's no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You see, the question quickly becomes is that he was not well because he had no leprosy. See, because he was healed earlier. And his faithfulness is what made him well. Understanding he was pitiful, calling out to Jesus and obeying what Jesus said, that's how he procured healing. But he was made well for a whole different reason. He wasn't well because he had no leprosy. He was well because he had Jesus. I mean, think about this. Who was he hugging? He was hugging the Savior. Who was he finally able to be in contact with? He was finally able to be in contact with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all. He was finally able to touch not just people. Now see, go back to these other nine. Think about where they are. For all of their life, maybe, they've not been able to touch anyone. They've not been able to be in the presence of anyone. And so now, whether it was fair or unfair, whether it was circumstantial, whatever, now all of those barriers are lifted. And so they can go and they can be with people. And that's exactly what they are doing. They're being in society. They're being in the culture. They're being in friendships and family that maybe they've been cut off with for a long time because of their sickness. But one person understood, I can touch Jesus, and I'm going to go be with him. No doubt, nine guys were grateful to be healed. There's no question. I don't think anybody would ever question that nine gentlemen were thankful, were grateful to be healed. But there was one who was thankful to know Jesus. Are we thankful for what God wants us to be thankful for? Are we thankful for what we have? You see, because there's a big difference between being thankful for what God has done. Now hear me, church. Big difference between being thankful for what God has done and being thankful for God. Did you hear that? Huge difference. Because if we're just thankful for what God has done, we will only be thankful when we are in need, when we're pitiful. But see, then once God changes those circumstances, once we get something from Him, you see, we're only thankful when we're in need if we're thankful for what He's done. But we're thankful as a life. We're thankful from our heart. We're thankful in all things. We're content if we're thankful for God. Huge, huge Thanksgiving difference there. See, thankful for what God has done only shows up when we need something. But thankful for God will pursue Him and will throw ourselves at His feet in adoration, praise, and worship. The question quickly becomes, what are we thankful for? Are we thankful for all of the blessings? Or are we thankful for knowing the blesser? From Him whom all blessings flow. That's the road to Thanksgiving. And it starts with the potential to even want to know God, even want to be close to Him. Do we want God to change us and to fix us and to heal us so that we will be better at relationships with everyone else? Or do we want God to fix us and change us and heal us so that we can be in contact with Him for eternity? What are we thankful for? Now, in a couple of days, we're going to eat an obscene amount of food. And we're going to enjoy family and friendships and plenty. Are we thankful for those things that we have been given? Or are we thankful to know the giver of all good and perfect gifts? As we celebrate this time of year, as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, my prayer is that Highland Hills and the people here today will have the potential for true, faithful thanksgiving, and will have this love for God above everything else, because that is when our behavior will change. That is when everything around us, all of the people, all of the things, all of the circumstances will fade into so much glorious oblivion. And all that we can do is praise and worship God. And Jesus said, when He is lifted up like that, He will draw all men into Himself. Thanksgiving is not about knowing what we are blessed with, but knowing who we are blessed by. And falling at His feet, coming in glorious contact with our Savior. Why? Because we can. Because we can. This morning, if you want to fall at His feet, if you want to grab a hold of the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in just praise and thanksgiving, if you want to be able to touch Him, all you have to do is confess His name. Recognize Him as the Master. Call out to Him. Call out to Him in your pitifulness. And obey Him. Be faithful and be made well. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand?